And the title of the message is called Two Gates and Two Roads. Two Gates and Two Roads. And, you know, Matthew, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And this is Jesus talking. And Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter in through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, I want to tell you that this scripture is a reality. Sometimes people read the Bible and they look at the Bible and they think, well, surely this is just an exaggeration. Or maybe this is just, I don't know, hyperbole or something like that. But Jesus spoke here. I believe that Jesus was speaking very clearly here. And he said, and he's encouraging people, make sure you enter through the narrow gate. But it's not just the narrow gate. There is the narrow gate and the narrow road. Now, many people only focus on the narrow gate or which gate to go in, but they forget, they tend to forget that there's a road to go down once you go through that gate. The Lord was speaking something to me this morning before service when I was just getting ready at home, actually. And he said, you know, most people follow me like the people did when I fed the 5,000. Most people follow me for what they can get out of me. They're not following me because they really want to follow me. And it's kind of the same word that, like, Brother Mike was talking about this morning. There's a difference in surrender, because surrender is a willingness on our part to just say, God, my life belongs to you. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. There's a difference in that and then just having to say uncle because I'm in a bind. And most people only go to God when they're in a bind. They only go to God. I mean, I can't tell you how many people over the years, they get themselves in big old jams, and then they call me, and it's so funny because they're calling me for me to pray for them, but the whole time they're trying to convince me how wonderful and spiritual they really are. Somehow hoping that they can convince me and God that, you know, that they're worthy to get out of this mess that they got themselves into. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The problem is that people, even Christian people who say, well, I've gone through the narrow gate, find themselves crossing over on the broad road. Now, we'll talk more about that later, but he says enter through the narrow gate, but that's just part of it. That's the beginning. Somebody say, the gate's only the beginning. Now, there's a lot of people who will never even go through the little gate, the small gate, the narrow gate, because that's just a little too confining for them, and they're going to take the broad gate. Now, let's keep on going. Listen, life is filled with choices. That's why I'm always saying this. The Lord spoke this to me years ago, and I say this pretty often, that real Christianity is making the final choice. It's taking the God-given power of choice that God gave us and will never take away from us. Some people believe that God doesn't give everybody choices. Well, everybody has choices, right? We do have a free will. We can choose to go to heaven or we can choose to go to hell. We can choose to do it His way. We can choose to do it our way. The choice is ours. God will not force Himself on anybody, but we make the final choice as a Christian to let God make all the rest of our choices. So what many people want to do is they'll say, well, I make the choice, and Jesus, you're the gate, you're the door, I'm going to go through you, but then I want to do what I want to after I go through the door. It doesn't work like that. So some of those choices seem very little in importance. They don't carry with them or seem to carry with them any life-changing major consequences. And then other choices we all know are pretty important. And making the wrong choice could alter our life forever. I mean, we know there are major choices, getting married and so on and so forth, major choices. For some, you know, kids may be looking to, you know, what school they're going to go to, or or whatever. But some choices we know, we automatically know that we better make the right one because of the consequences if we don't make the right one. But not all our earthly lives, but also our eternal lives. Choices are important. In these verses, we're faced with the most important decisions that anyone will ever make. The choice that they make will affect their life forever. Now, forever is a long time. Now, I talked about this yesterday, actually, and I've used this before, but I'll never forget a preacher. I couldn't even tell you who it is, but I remember them using this analogy of forever. As I was, you know, a young person, said, do you have any idea how long forever is? Any idea how long eternity is? And he used this analogy. He said, if a bird went to a beach, we'll just say down in Cameron Parish, and he picked up one grain of sand and flew it all the way across the world to China and dropped it off and flew all the way back to, you know, Rutherford Beach in Cameron and got another grain of sand and flew it all the way across. How many of you have ever heard this before? And dropped it off and then flew all the way back across the world and got another grain of sand. By the time that bird, of course, if it could live that long, by the time that bird finished moving every grain of sand, not just from Rutherford Beach or Cameron Parish, but every grain of sand that is found on every beach all over the entire world, if that bird was able to do that, by the time he finished, that wouldn't even be, I mean, just a split second split by thousands and thousands and thousands of time, that would just be a drop in eternity. Eternity is a long, long, long time. We better make the right decisions. Now, here's the deal. I'm not just talking about getting saved here. I'm talking about God says there's some things I want you to do while you're on the earth, and when you get to the other side, it's going to affect things there as well. There are rewards. There are things that God wants to do, and most people live well below what God has available for them. We heard that in a prophetic word this morning, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. There's so much more that God wants to be able to reward his people with. Again, the choice is huge when it comes to what this scripture is talking about. Now, ultimately, it talks about the difference, the choice between heaven and hell. But it's also a choice about what kind of life that we're going to live right here on this earth. And too many Christian people are content to just slide through that gate, but don't go really any further with the Lord. And so by our nature, how many of you know, we usually take the path of least resistance. Now, is there anybody other than me in this room that does that? Okay. We typically take the path of least resistance, usually because we're in such a hurry all the time. But we take the path of least resistance. It is natural. It's common to all of us. So let's look at the different characteristics. First main point, the different characteristics. In this passage, we're presented with a description of two gates and two roads. So let's talk first about the gate, the wide gate versus the narrow or small gate. Ancient cities were surrounded by walls, and, you know, they had to be because of course, it was protection for them. It'd keep the enemy out, but also it was a border for them, and there was protection there. And they were surrounded by walls, and you had to enter through gates. And of course, the people in Jesus' day would have certainly understood this analogy. Some gates were very wide, and they permitted throngs of people to pass through at one time. But other gates were very, very small. They were very narrow, and they only allowed one person at a time to enter. And so very few people chose the narrow gate. Why? Well, because it's narrow, it's small, it's restricted. You know, they never are going to do the difficult thing naturally. Okay. So the wide gate represents the way of the world. It represents humanistic thinking. Can I tell you that the church, especially the church in America, has been invaded with humanistic thinking? Understand, I believe God wants us to be positive. I believe God wants us to have strong faith, but many people in the American church have made it all about, again, what I can get from God. It's not about laying my life down for him in the sake of the gospel. You know, the founder of the Bible college that I went to, just his death inspired me. Just reading about his death and hearing his son talk about his very death. This was a man who was a missionary in Japan, Leonard Coote. He was a missionary in Japan and started the Bible college I went to because he had the heart of a missionary, and his intention was, we need to get missionaries, more missionaries in Japan. And so he started International Bible College to raise up missionaries to go to Japan. Well, what happened was there were missionaries that went to Japan, but the World War II happened, and so it made it very difficult for missionaries to go to Japan. So they ended up training up many, many missionaries. Listen, today, still today, the school's not even open anymore, but still today, there are many hundreds of missionaries all around the world that came through that school. And their kids are missionaries as well, so on and so forth. And many, many pastors, such as myself and Pastor Cindy, who went through that school, many evangelists and other ministers that went through that school. But Leonard Coote had a vision, and he was a man who just literally laid it all on the line for the Lord. And in fact, they said his prayer was, God, spend me. Lord, every organ in my body, every muscle in my body, every part of my being, God, spend it for the sake of the gospel. And they said when that man died, literally, his organs were just worn out. His body was worn out. And he died an old age, but he was just worn out for the gospel. He was a man, he was the type of man when people were running away from danger, he was running into it, hoping that there'd be somebody he could lead to Jesus there. Incredible. And when he died, they said on his last breath, he sat up in his bed and he said, forward! And then he laid down and died. Wow. Where do those people go? See, this was a man that understood the reality of the narrow gate and the narrow way. And I stand here today in large part because of him and what he did and what he set up and what they placed into my life in that school. Again, while others were, some gates are very wide and some are very narrow, very few people wanted to go through the narrow gate because it's restricted. The wide gate just says anything goes. See, there's a lot of churches right now where anything goes. I mean, anything, literally anything goes. There are churches in our area that are promoting, you know, drag shows and all that kinds of stuff. They're promoting the use of alcohol and marijuana and all that. I'm talking about churches, okay? We expect that from the world. And they grow, they get big. I mean, why not? Well, because broad is the way, right? And many people, most people are going to go that way. Jesus himself said, most people are going to go that way. And too many people in the church got so concerned with the church growth movement and trying to do all the things that they need to do to try to build a big church. There, somewhere along the line, the truth got lost. As long as I'm alive, that ain't happening here. We love everybody. Everybody. We want everybody to come to the truth. We want everybody to come to repentance. We want everybody to experience the life of God the way God wanted them to experience it. But that doesn't happen through compromise. The wide gate is very accommodating. It's very easily entered. You know, there's a lot of preachers out there. I agree with what they say. My problem is with what they don't say. They say a lot of good things, but there's a lot of things they don't say that God would have them say. But they're not going to risk that because they don't want to lose people. So the wide way is the accommodating way. It's easily entered. There's no struggle. How many of you know that Jesus said that we must be born again? Now, I'm not meaning to be gross or graphic, but when a person is born, they're entering through a very narrow way. Some of y'all ladies know what I'm talking about. And it's kind of a violent process. There's some pain involved with it. But people want the easy way. And many preachers are willing to give them the easy way. So it's the natural way to go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And I'm going to tell you, that spirit is at work in a lot of folks sitting in churches this morning. All of us who live among them at one time gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature. Everybody say, by nature. By nature, objects of wrath. That which comes natural to us, that most people take, the easy way, the broad way, the broad gate, it comes natural to us. But it's because we're objects of wrath. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If we love people, we're going to tell them the truth. If we love people, we don't want them to be objects of wrath. What it means to be an object of wrath is, at some point in time, the wrath of God is going to completely manifest in your life. We don't want that for anybody. Amen? I would rather hurt their feelings now than to see them destroyed by the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is coming their way. People don't want to talk about the wrath of God today because people want the blessings. They don't really want God. Now, God has lots of blessings in store for us. He does, but it's got to be His way. There is absolutely nothing that keeps a person from entering the wide gate. God says, if you want to go that way, you have the right to make that choice. The narrow gate represents the entrance to eternal life. Again, it's the entrance. But the wide gate, again, is the natural way to go. The narrow or the small gate is completely unnatural. It's contrary to human reasoning. There were many reasons why people chose the wider, easier entrance as opposed to the narrow or the small one. One of those reasons was because in order to get through the narrow and the small gate, for one thing, a person would have to stoop down to get through it. See, no one comes to Christ. No one can really come to Christ until they're willing to humble themselves. In order to enter through that gate that leads to eternal life, you must be willing to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Proverbs 3:34, He mocks the proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6, but He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5-6 says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Always tell people, humble yourself. The Bible says humble yourself. It never tells us to ask God to humble us, but it does say humble yourself. Another reason so few choose the narrow or the small entrance has to do with the fact that there wasn't any room for anybody else but that person themselves to fit through. You got to go through this thing by yourself. Can't nobody go through it with you. Amen? And here's the other thing. You don't have room to take a bunch of excess baggage with you either. See, some people will only serve God if somebody else will do it with them. Some spouses will only serve God if their husband or wife will do it with them. I'm telling you, you're in this thing by yourself. You got to be willing to pass through. Though none go with me, still I will follow. If the only reason, look, I've been in big crusades where, you know, many people would come forward. But what I've noticed in many of those, the first ones to stand and come running to the altar, well, those were the sincere ones. But the ones who sit back waiting for their friend, you gonna go? You gonna go? I don't know. You gonna go? You gonna go? They're gonna go. They may have some kind of emotional thing, but they're not gonna be sold out to the Lord. And you know, maybe some may actually have a salvation experience. But if it's dependent upon what your friend's gonna do, the fear of God hasn't hit you yet. You have no idea yet why you even need to be saved. Listen, there wasn't any room for anything else but that person to fit through that entrance. You can't take anything with you. They couldn't take a lot of excess things. They had to leave it all outside. See, when I come to Christ, that means everything I have to be willing to leave it outside. My house, my car, my family, my children, my husband, my wife, my job, my everything. Most people are not willing. They want to come to God with conditions. Well, God, I'll serve you if that even comes out of your mouth, you don't even know what it means to be saved. That's good preaching. I'm telling you that. Hallelujah, that's good preaching. I'm going to have to encourage myself this morning. The call to eternal life involves a separation from not just sin, but really from everything if God calls for it. Now, typically that's not what God does. He's not going to say, well, you know, if you're going to serve me, you're going to have to go give away all your money or whatever. But he did tell one young man that, because that stuff was his real God, right? So, but we certainly have to be willing to separate ourselves from sin. A person must be willing to abandon their old life to follow Christ wholeheartedly. Jesus also referred to himself as the gate to the sheep pen. Now we're going to read this scripture and we're going to end with this scripture. But John 10, 1 through 10, it says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. Listen, that speaks volumes right there. The man, we could say woman too, who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. There is no other way to get in except through the gate, which is Christ Jesus. And to get through his gate, you got to humble yourself and you got to allow everything to be stripped from your life, or you can't fit through that gate. And Jesus said, anybody that tries to get in through another way is a thief and a robber. I'm here to say today that there are many in the church across this country that are just thieves and robbers, because they're not trying to enter through the narrow gate. They do want to go to heaven. They do want to go to heaven. They don't want to go to hell, but they're not willing to go through the gate, Jesus. Now, what they'll do is they'll find another gate, a wider gate, and they'll say, we'll call this gate Jesus. And we go through the big broad gate and say, yeah, I came in through Jesus. Well, no, it wasn't the Jesus of the Bible. So verse 2 says, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, by the way, before I can have anything to do with any of God's sheep, I got to be willing to go through the right gate myself, right? And then notice, I become the watchman. As the pastor, I'm a watchman, and I open the gate, and the sheep hear my voice only when they hear Christ's voice through me, okay? But it has to be because I went through the right gate, because if I don't, I'm going to lead the sheep astray. Now, the watchman opens gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, we have the picture of going into the sheep pen, but then we also have the picture of him leading them out of the sheep pen. Any idea what they're going to do when they lead out? For them, they're going to go eat grass and go do what they do. For us, it's not just about feeding ourselves, but it's because we got something to do outside of the sheep pen, right? And so he says, they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. That's why I don't get upset. You know, I understand I am not the chief shepherd. I'm an under shepherd. It used to hurt my feelings when people would get mad and leave and all, and I would cry for days, and it's like, Lord, I love them. I love them. And he said, look, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, you know. And here's the other thing. Sometimes they're not rejecting either one of us. Sometimes it's because they found out they in the wrong sheep pen, right? My sheep know my voice. They just got a little confused for a while, right? So if people can't hear the voice that flows through this pulpit, then obviously they're not these sheep that belong here, right? So Jesus used this figure of speech, goes on in verse 6. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. In verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Now, we quote this scripture all the time talking about the devil. Am I right? John 10:10. We talk about that devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But the devil, listen, this is not even really talking about the devil. He is a thief, and the Bible does identify him as a thief, and he does come to steal, kill, and destroy. But the truth of the matter is this is talking about people whom the devil has control of. And some of these people think they're a sheep, but we find out they were a goat instead. So Jesus says, I'm the gate. Now here's a challenge. We're gonna end it right here because I'm late. But here's the deal. There's only one gate. We need to be careful because we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the evangelist of the world. We're supposed to be leading people to Christ. We need to make sure we're leading them through the right gate. You got to be careful when you're dealing with people, even when you're trying to witness to people, they have to understand that there is only one entrance. There's only one way. And you cannot go through this thing carrying all of your baggage and based on what you want to happen with all of your conditions. You can't do it. We can't do it, and neither can anybody else. Amen? And if you're in this room today, and that's how you came to Christ, because you know you had conditions and you said, well, Lord, I'll serve you if, well, then you missed it. And you need to back up, and you need to go through the right gate. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Now, I want you to understand that this church is a hospital for the sick. But it's not just a hospital for the sick. This church is a place to equip the saints of God to do the work of the ministry. So understand that if a message is being taught in this house, it's not just for us to get. It's for us to also give. Amen? So I'm telling you, if you will ask the Lord to give you opportunity, in fact, he's looking for the opportunity to give you an opportunity. If you will say, Lord, I'll be faithful if you give me the opportunity, he'll give you an opportunity to share with somebody the truth that you heard today. Now, our job is not the outcome. Our job is the obedience. Now, I'm not talking about beating somebody over the head with the Bible. I'm talking about living it before them and then understanding that the wrath of God is coming upon them. The wrath of God is something that you and I cannot even imagine. But the wrath of God is coming upon them. They are condemned until they come into Christ. That wrath is headed straight toward them like an 18-wheeler. And if we love them, if we care anything about our fellow brothers and sisters, we'll say something to them. We'll say, Lord, open the door. Show me what to say. And when we present truth, present truth. Jesus didn't make it easy. He said, this is the way. There's only one way. The choice is yours. So, Father, I thank you for these people that you've sent here, from the oldest to the youngest. I thank you, Father, that, Lord, we can be 103 and still share the gospel with people. Lord, we could be 3 and share the gospel with people. Father, I thank you that everything in between, Father, every age in between, people certainly can share the gospel, can share the truth with people. I pray, Father, you burn within our hearts a desire for that which is absolutely true, that which really, really pulls people out of the wrath that is to come, Father, and sets their feet on a solid place, Father, a solid rock, God, not a place of shifting sand, Father. I pray for those, whether it be their co-workers or whether it be family members or people they meet randomly in some place, God, that, Lord, you would reveal to them how to get a conversation started, Father, how to share the love of Christ, Lord God, in a way that really, really impacts that person. And I pray for a supernatural boldness from the Holy Spirit to do that, Father. We know the time is short, Father. We know there are billions of people lost. And Father, you've given us the words of life. Father, I pray, help us not only to make sure we're going through the narrow gate, but to make sure that others also go through that narrow gate, Father. Now, Lord, I thank you for your grace upon each person. I thank you, Father. I declare over them, not one will be lost, Father, but they'll all fulfill the calling that you've placed upon their lives, Father. I thank you, Lord, that the people of this church, Lord, when we on that day, God, our last day, we breathe our last breath, God, we will not have to be filled with regret, but Lord, we can rejoice that we're going to our reward. And Lord, we thank you for that. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.